Hello, everybody. Welcome to this broadcast, The Alchemy of Light. I am Jamil Graham, your host, and The Alchemy of Light broadcast is a celebration and exploration of consciousness. And today we have a fantastic guest who has brought us information, ideas, exploration of consciousness from a multidimensional perspective and intention. Her name is Elaine Seiler. Hello, Elaine.
Hi there, Jamil. Nice to be speaking with you.
And thank you so much for joining us. You have just written a book called Multidimensional You, Exploring Energetic Evolution. And the book has an accompanying workbook that follows the same trajectory as the book, with exercises that expand the teachings in the book to help us specifically address the energetic energies that are influencing us, that are actually quite front and center when we begin to take note of them and how they're influencing. And I really appreciated this book very much. The beginning shares with us a bit of your experience and how you came to your own multidimensional awareness and built these lessons and understandings from your experience and integrated with knowledge of mentors and guides along the way. So would you please share with us a little bit about your journey and how you did come to this? And what is, you mentioned that you are a pioneer in the field of transformation energetics. Would you please share with us a little of your journey and what the field of transformation energetic actually is by your definition?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Now, that's a big question. So let me start with the definition so that there's a framework here for the listeners to understand. For me, I came up with the term transformation energetics because I was really looking for some phrase to describe what I felt the work that I did encompassed. And to be very simplistic about it, I use energy to create transformation. Now, that's a little many fields that do that. I mean, chiropractors and Reiki practitioners and cranial sacral practitioners are all using energies also to create physical and other kinds of transformation in people's bodies. But what I'm specifically using is what I call other dimensional energies in order to facilitate that transformation. So I linked the two together and called it transformation energetics. Now, when I say other dimensional energies, what I mean there is, for the most part, we pay almost total attention to what we can see, smell, taste, and touch. And within our culture, we don't pay a great deal of attention to those things that to me exist and are real, but are not provable beyond those five senses. So to me, the other dimensions are anything that I describe as across the veil, on the other side of the veil, meaning on this side of the veil, we have physicality and we use our five senses to observe and perceive and work with the energies on this side of the veil. On the other side of the veil, we have to go to our intuitive skills or to guidance, to information that's coming to us from other places than what we can see and touch and feel. And I began to see, now to give you a little history, I spent 10 or 12 years working with a holistic health center, and I was doing career counseling and life planning at that time. And during those years of being exposed to all kinds of healing techniques, I opened spiritually. And from there, I did what I call opening energetically, meaning that the usual explanations that I found for the things I was experiencing just didn't work anymore. So I would have an experience of being somewhere with a group of people that I normally was very comfortable with, in a situation that felt normally very good to me, and suddenly, for no reason that I could perceive I was uncomfortable, or I felt an emotion that didn't feel quite like mine, but I was feeling it. And I couldn't understand what was going on. And if I looked at to find a rational scientific explanation, I couldn't find one. If I looked emotionally, I couldn't find it. If I looked with all my five senses, I couldn't find it. And even going spiritually, it only took me so far. So I began to look for another explanation. And that took me into this realm of energy. Now, since then, to me, it seems very logical, but of course, at that time, it was all very new to me. And we're going back now 10 or 20 years here. And today, people are talking about energy. And they're talking about the unseen realms much more than they did at that time. And they're also talking about evolution a lot today. I find that word is bantered about quite a bit in the media. However, I hear them talking about cultural evolution or physical evolution or other, evolution of our, of something quite specific, things that fit within the physical realm on this side of the veil. And I don't hear people talking about energetic evolution. And what I'm talking about there is an actual energetic change. So that the energies that comprise absolutely everything in this world, and we think we live in a very solid world of form and structure, but in fact, that world is really not solid. We have agreed through consensus reality that the forms around us are going to appear solid. And so we believe that, and we think they're solid. Now, in fact, what they are moving molecules or waves of energy that are moving so rapidly that we don't see the movement. But we are being influenced every minute of every day by the movement of those energies. We influence the energies and the energies influence us. So over a period of time, I began to pay more and more attention to this level. And it takes a bit of shifting one's focus and going quiet inside and sense feeling, which is the best way to describe it, because it's very hard to talk about that realm because there are no words to talk about something that doesn't have form and structure. So over time, that has become my passion and my focus. And the words transformation came out of that, that study, if you will. And then the next piece is that I try to find words again to title my book. And sometimes people want to know the connection between transformation energetics and multidimensional you, which is the title of the book. And I played with many titles before I ended up with that one. That one finally seemed to work for me because it describes what I feel we each are. And since I'm talking to the audience, I called it multidimensional you. And you, all you listeners out there, are all, I believe, multidimensional beings. Now, I mean it in the broadest sense of the word. Some people use multidimensional to mean that you're functioning on, many different levels at once. And yes, that's true. We do that. I'm taking those different levels one step further to mean that we function on multi dimensions. So we have the two-dimensional reality of a physical paper, and we have the three-dimensional reality that we all live in. And now we have the other dimensions that I believe we as a species are moving into, that we're actually evolving from being one kind of a being to actually being another kind of a being. In the past, our evolution has reflected itself physically, and we moved from, being a bent over chimpanzee or to an upright human being. And now we are actually evolving our energy body, our consciousness, and our energy bodies, which, if you stop for a moment and just think, do you, and let me ask you this question, and I ask the listeners to answer too, do you feel, for example, that things are moving much faster than they ever did, that suddenly you're having to run to keep up.
Quite definitely. And it's reflecting itself on the planet, as we were having our little chat just before going on the air, how the seasons themselves are redefining themselves. The advent of a heat wave we had here on the East Coast has many things into bloom all at once. For instance, the crocuses, which are normally the first bulbs to show their beautiful little faces, which here in New England, we're very attuned to the seasons because a long, cold winter is greeted with great enthusiasm in the spring, and every little plant brings its own little sign of that evolution, that step toward the next season. But this week, we have the crocuses and the hyacinth and the snowdrops and the forsythia and the daffodils and the magnolias and the cherries, and all at once. It's everybody's in a hurry. We're all here now. Okay. We're definitely different now. Something is changing on multi dimensions, quite literally.
Right. But what's interesting to me, Jamila, and I hadn't really put the pieces together, but you just put them together for me. You've given us a really beautiful example of that speeding up that's happening. What they say that the 24-hour day is now more like a 16-hour day. So that means you have to get done in your 16 hours what you used to get done in 24. And it feels very, very fast. And that was those numbers I read some time ago. So it's probably even faster than that now. And to think about the opening of all those wonderful spring blooms is such an interesting look at it, because normally one would just say, oh yeah, it's climate change. Well, what you and I are saying is it's more than climate change. Mm-hmm. It's actually the speeding up that we are experiencing. And here is a really beautiful example of how it's expressing itself in the world of nature. The example I like to give is if you were on a treadmill and you set the timer or the speed on your machine, and then your trainer came up behind you and changed the speed and made it much faster, and you weren't aware that that was happening, you'd have to run on your treadmill. You'd go from walking to jogging to running in order to just keep up and not fall on your face.
Well, how about this, Elaine? Instead of running, we just fly.
I think it's a great idea. I want to learn to teleport. So if flying is part of that picture, I'm game.
Yeah, because at a certain point, you know, that I think it goes with multidimensional you and our consciousness evolving to these awarenesses of the other dimensions, parallel realities, whatever you want to call them, that are happening simultaneous. And we become more heart-focused or consciousness-focused and less attached to our body, and then have a whole new relationship with our body. At a certain point, running becomes useless. You know, it's like, okay, well, what is the point? Now what am I actually doing in my consciousness? Because the whole need to do, our to-do list would naturally shift too, would you think?
Absolutely. I think you've said it very, very well. And so what we're experiencing is an evolution of our consciousness. We are perhaps it's the first time where there's an evolution that's actually happening consciously. So we now have some choices to make. How are we going to live those number of hours that we have? And how are we going to prioritize that to-do list? And how are we going to live effectively and efficiently and sustainably and carefully and lovingly on the planet? And those are important questions for us to look at.
I would like to expand on that road that you just opened, because in your book you talk about how your personal evolution brought you to the understanding of what I will term our interconnectedness, and how at certain point you realized that we were all connected and that the power of our being affects so much more than we realize. And this is one of the gateways in our multidimensional evolution, and how important that is to realize how every single thought we think actually affects so much more than our 3D reality could ever communicate to us. Would you please elaborate and share with us a little bit about that? That is really important.
Yes, I'll do that. One of the things that I now understand is that the closer we get to that place, that veil, so to speak, and as we cross the veil, we move into a space where thought is manifested instantaneously. And so we are on that pathway. And what that means is that we have to be extremely aware of our thoughts, because whatever they are, we are closer and closer to being able to manifest them instantly. So you don't want to be thinking negative thoughts. You don't want to be thinking about your fears about what might unfold. You want to be constantly affirming and standing on the positive side of whatever it is you're aiming for. And one of the things that happens, I've discovered, in this energetic evolution is that we become, let's put it this way, the veil becomes more and more porous. It becomes thinner. And we go through what I call a bridge state and then a blended state. Now, in the bridge state, we've got one foot on either side. So we're still fully the physical beings that we were before, but periodically we stick our toe in the water on the other side and we have a little bit of an experience of what that might feel like. And then as we adapt more and more, we become more and more blended. So we incorporate some of the characteristics and the qualities of life on the other side of the veil into our physical bodies. Now, this is important because we continue to be the same physical person we were before, but we actually have some of those abilities that are on the other side. And we also lose some of the qualities that we had when we were fully 100% physical. So what does that look like in practical terms? It means that, we started talking about thoughts. So we'll start there. We will have the ability to manifest what we want more instantaneously. If, and I say if because it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be, that it's without hitches, let me put it that way, that there are other things that have to line up in order for manifestation to occur, and that's a whole other subject. So let's come back to that. But we become, we stay physical, but we become less dense. So we may look physically the same, but it's as if there's more air and space between the cells. And that's part of the change that occurs. So things like sleep, for example, some people find that they need much less sleep as they're going through this. Some people sleep more. My experience is that I sleep much, much less. And it seems to be fine. So I will have all the energy that I need for the coming day, even though I have slept much less, both than I think I should and that I do. What other kinds of things? We will experience what I call a reflection of the environment. So sometimes we will pick up what's in the environment and we will feel something that isn't ours. So you might be walking down the street and you might actually feel anxiety or anger in your body. And you think, wait a minute, where'd that come from? I wasn't angry with anybody. And you may have actually picked up from your environment someone else's anger or resentment. And it will pass through your body. You'll feel it for a short period of time and then it'll be gone. And you think, wow, that was interesting, but it's finished now. And You might also find that you have physical reflections. Now, my understanding of this has to do with the fact that all of this has to do with becoming more and more sensitive. So that's, and you will experience more coincidences, more synchronicities. You will have more psychic awarenesses. I'm sorry, I went off the train of thought there. I was talking about picking up physically. So you might have experience a cough. You might experience a cramp in your leg. You might experience a rash, congestion in your nasal congestion. And you think to yourself, now, wait a minute, is this really physical? Am I really ill? And it's really, really important to ask the question and remind yourself that you may not be ill at all, that you may just be having a temporary reflection of what is in your environment that manifests in your body physically, and then it's gone. And it came out of nowhere, and it leaves just as quickly. And that, for me, is usually the key to understanding whether it's really a physical symptom or it isn't.
I appreciate what you're saying, because I think a lot of people are having these experiences but don't have a context to. And I find that more and more people are coming forward with important information as you're offering and writing these books, because this is inevitable on certain levels, and our ability to be consciously aware of it and engage it has, I think, a tremendous impact on how well we are able to manage the energies as they're shifting. Will you share with us some tips one might use to identifying or pushing on their own awareness, exploring for themselves how to discover whether the aches and the pains or the thoughts, the emotions are theirs? How did you figure that out? And because I think that I would call it overload, because there are just so much happening, and the more sensitive you get, it's like walking around in a busy boardroom at some point. And then how do you find yourself in that?
Well, really important question. I think the first thing I want to say is that, you know, each person has to make the decision as to whether they need to deal at a very physical level and see a medical practitioner. So none of this can supersede that. But having said that, I would ask every individual who is experiencing something out of the norm to ask themselves the question, is this energetic? It's a very simple question, and they just need to sit there and be with it. They need to look at the metaphors that are present in the experience. So if, for example, they are experiencing nasal congestion, I would ask them to look at their environment and just assess, is there so much going on, as you just indicated? There's so many energies flying around and so much happening in all our lives. At some point, we can't process it all. And so different people experience the congestion in different parts of their body. Mm-hmm. And then, fortunately, the congestion passes through. Now, sometimes you literally have to withdraw from that particular field. And by the field, I mean that time-space environment that they were in. Because sometimes that one field is very congested, and the only way to get enough distance to refill your tank of energy is to get away from it. Mm. And then there are lots of things you can do. Showers and baths are wonderful to clear that energetic toxicity. Walking on the earth bare feet, very, very helpful. Using incense, also excellent to help clear both the space and your own physical body. Let's see, what other things? But you asked how to determine. There really is no quick, easy way except to say, stop, take a step back, and ask, is this mine? is this someone else's? What am I reflecting in my environment? If my back suddenly starts to hurt, I will stop and ask, what am I carrying on my back that may not be mine and maybe I shouldn't be carrying at all because it really is someone else's? Have I taken that on? Or do I have too many things going in my life? That to-do list we talked about before, have I overloaded it and it is weighing me down and suddenly my back is going to hurt? Now, if I can relieve some of those actual physical things and understand the metaphor, I, instead of saying, oh my goodness, I've got a bad back, this is really terrible, the important thing is not to concretize the symptom into something bad, into something serious, into something physical, because it may not have been physical when it started at all. But if you focus on it and you call yourself very ill, or you call yourself, oh my goodness, my back is now XYZ, sometimes it may be and you need to deal with it. But a lot of the time now, while we're going through this very powerful and transitional period, ask the questions about the energies in your life and take a look at what you've just experienced that day before your back or your ear or your eye or whatever it is that's troubling you. Take a look at what might have been going on there too. And then trust that you have the ability to interpret the metaphor, because energy can't speak in English or Italian or Chinese. And it's very challenging when you first start on this evolutionary path to understand how it, are the energies speaking to us. They speak in metaphor. They speak through nature. They speak through synchronicity and coincidence, through our dreams, through a passage in a book that we pick up, through something you might hear on the radio, through a headline that you might see on the newspaper. And those are where you get your messages.
Absolutely. That's really, really helpful. The bottom line then is to, it always comes down to this bottom line, to know thyself. You know, you got to know your own way that you navigate inside in that energetic realm to really put those metaphors to an effective meaning in your life. It always comes down to that. You have to make that time to figure out your own little, you know?
That's true. And let me give the listeners just a couple of little insights here. There are a number, I've looked very deeply at the way our body functions energetically. Mm. And I've come up with a whole list of descriptive words that explain how our bodies function in the energetic realm. And I think that might be helpful here. This is not to answer the question of exactly how to interpret the symptoms that you might or might not experience as you're going through the process, but it is some clues as to understanding how your body functions as an energetic instrument. And I think when you understand that, it may be very helpful in terms of understanding the process as you walk through the changes. So the first one is my most favorite, and I started calling myself a cosmic vacuum cleaner. And it was a funny expression that came out of my mouth, and then I realized that it was extremely apt. And what I meant by that is that sometimes I find that I'm going from place to place, and I'm not just going for the reason that I think I'm going for, but that I'm actually cleaning those spaces at the same time. For example, how many people out there, I wonder, are currently looking for an apartment or a house or a new job, or selling things from door to door, or anything of that nature where they move around a great deal and they go in and out of a variety of spaces. Well, I was looking for an apartment at one point when I realized I was getting absolutely exhausted by this process, which – Yes, it's tiring to some degree, but this felt different to me. And I really kind of dug into it and realized that what I was doing was literally cleaning the apartments as I went from space to space. So I thought that I was just looking for an apartment. In reality, I was looking for an apartment and I was being used energetically to clear and clean those spaces. Now, what do I mean by that? My body is used as an instrument of cleansing. So the energies come in through me, they pass through my body, they go out into the space, and they pulse out at a certain vibration, at a certain rate. And in like a big giant vacuum cleaner, essentially, like a big filter system. And they circle around, take the used, the old energy, pass it back through the body, cleanse it, pass it out clean, bring it back through again and pass it out clean again. Now, I'm not saying that every single person does this. I think that we each have unique capabilities as an energy being. I truly don't know that every single person is an instrument of energetic work, but I do know that many people actually do what I'm talking about. And but nobody's ever taught us this, and nobody's ever said, why don't you think, are you being a filter system right now? Are you being a cosmic vacuum cleaner as you go in and out and you do your job or your work? And once you recognize that that is possibly what you're doing, somehow it takes the weight off the fatigue you might feel, number one, and it acknowledges the job you're doing for the universe, number two, which is extremely important, and it validates you so that this is really important. And so that's number one on my list of jobs. Of energetic jobs is being a cosmic vacuum cleaner or energetic vacuum cleaner. And then there are people who anchor, who literally sort of hold the energy solid. If you've ever been at a in a meeting with a group of people who form a team or a board meeting of some sort or your team of workers in your corporate job, it could be any group at all. And someone comes into that meeting. They're not there all the time, but they come in occasionally. And have you ever noticed that the meeting is very different when they're present than when they're not? And suddenly things seem more balanced, calmer. There's less bickering. There's less fighting in the group. There's much more harmony. There's more balance, and there's more work accomplished. Those people, yeah. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I just said absolutely.
Well, those people I call an anchor, and they're balancing the energy. They're clearing it, they're cleansing it, they're creating harmony, and they're anchoring the vibrations so that the best that can happen can actually unfold in that meeting, whatever is whatever the goals of that meeting are. And then there are people who, and one person might do all or some or none. So I don't mean these to be separate items, but some people act as what I call bellows or dampers, just like a bellows that is used to amp up the flame in a fire, in a fireplace, and a damper being something that would dampen down the fire. Well, sometimes the energies in one place or location or group or person, sometimes those energies are too excited, too volatile, and they need to be dampened down. And sometimes the energies are too soft and too quiet and too calm and too passive, and the energies need to be amped up. And so that's another job that an energy worker can do. That any one of you listening who doesn't and has never called him or herself an energy worker can think of yourself in those shoes and acknowledge that that may be something that you do.
I think that is really, really helpful. And when I really appreciated the way you organized this information in your book about being the 3D, then moving to the bridge, and then to the blended state. And I find that very accessible. And the idea of moving from, oh, I'm just somebody in the meeting, to I am a conscious being who is present and aware that there's a shift in the bridge state, perhaps. Could you use that as an example that might help us understand these three stages? A person who's just in the meeting, completely unconscious of what energy they might bring, to a person who's on the bridge and what that might feel like, and then somebody who's blended, how that consciousness might actually shift in that example?
Sure. In the bridge state, what's happened is that your vibrations have speeded up and your sensitivities have increased dramatically, and your extrasensory perceptions, and you're just beginning to feel these shifts within you and being aware of these differences. When you move into the blended state, there are many characteristics that occur that you can really see and pay attention to. And I divide them up into physical and emotional and values. And let me give you some examples. So, and I want to talk about it from that one of the difficulties here is that you can look at any of this material. If you stand in the physical world and you look at it, you can talk about it physically from the physical side. In order to really understand the energetic aspect, you kind of have to project yourself onto the other side so that you're sense feeling it from that energetic perspective. So let's just look at emotions, for example. When you're perceiving your emotions from the blended state, emotions are much more balanced. So you might see a real difference between how you used to be emotionally, up and down and up and down, and then suddenly you find that things don't aggravate and excite you in quite the same way they did before. You still have your emotions, you still feel, but you're much more calm. There's much more balance in your life. There's much greater acceptance of what comes your way. And there's much more confidence in your knowingness. So all the way through this process, you're constantly having to trust that everything's going to be okay, that these changes are going to pass, that you are going to come out fine on the other side. And you gain in confidence and trust as you move through this. And those are some of the things that you will feel emotionally. Now, the other thing that I've experienced here is that you may respond more energetically to people than you used to, whereas you used to respond emotionally. Now, that's a tricky one to understand, but when you used to meet someone new, you've never met this person before, you meet them for the first time, and you might have in the past had an emotional reaction. They looked like somebody you used to know and you responded very favorably to them. You would have an emotional reaction to that. You liked the way they spoke and you enjoyed you had mutual interest, and you respond from that place emotionally. Now suddenly what's going to happen is that you're actually going to have almost an energetic response, and you may not know what's causing it. So you think, oh, I really want to be around this person more, and I don't know why. And they don't like the same things that I like at all. And what is going on here? Why am I being drawn to them? Well, their vibration is more in tune with your vibration than you can see with your eyes. And so now you're having an energetic reaction because your vibrations are resonant. Very important word in this whole new field. To have a resonant vibration means you're in harmony. Your vibrations are very similar and you sink in that way. But the sinking is energetic. It's not emotional and it's not intellectual and it's not physical. It's different. Is that clear?
Yeah, I think it is. It is clear. And I would refer to one of the comments you made in the very beginning of the book, which is apt here, that, you know, these conversations are new to our three-dimensional understanding. And the whole concepts themselves, you really encourage us to just read them, listen to them, be with them, and just keep reading. And just let that three-dimensional part of us, even though it's not necessarily finding its place, because we're making new places for these things, for these concepts, for these understandings, and we are writing new dictionaries. And you offer a great glossary of terms in your book and the workbook to help people move into their own understanding about this, because we are literally in virgin territory here. So I think that that explanation was really, really good. And it is like everything in the new multidimensional understanding requires some openness of our minds and our hearts to just be with the discomfort and let that sink in, however that sinks in, you know. I think that's a very important piece of how we become multidimensionally aware, is we have to learn how to just go, okay, well, that does make sense, even though I can't, like, put my finger on it, you know?
Exactly. You said it very well. Just let it be there until you can own it. For at the beginning, you're just going to hear it. It's going to be new. It's going to be different. You're not quite sure it makes sense. Or you might feel in your gut that it makes sense, but when you go to tell your friend that you just read this book and she said something really interesting and you go to try and say it, you may not be able to even say a word, because we don't have language when we first start. It's really something that's in the gut. It's in the feeling space. It's in that energetic. It's in the vibrations. And how do you talk about that? So just be with it. Allow it. Give yourself space to grow with it. But start paying attention to the things that catch your attention, that are different, that are new. Some concept that, you know, you've never heard before and you think, wow, that I can leave some possibility for that. I can't go there yet, but maybe in the future. For example, here, I'll give you one. I talk about dreams in the book as being real experiences, real energetic experiences. Now, I know that dreams, there's lots of literature that analyzes dreams emotionally and psychologically, and they are very valid. And I'm not in any way saying we ignore that. Those are appropriate for a certain kind of interpretation. But what I'm saying is that dreams also have a multidimensional interpretation, and that at some level, in some dimension, I believe they do form a kind of a reality, and they can teach us things as we experience them. So perhaps start a dream journal and ask yourself, now, wait a minute, when I was dreaming that, did that feel like I was in a classroom? Was I in a school? And what was I learning there? And maybe think about it that way at the same time that you do your psychological interpretation. So you can have both.
Absolutely. The motivation being to expand and interconnect the concepts rather than to put them in boxes and label them. That's the material-based interpretation. It always needs this little box, and the little boxes are all separate from each other. And growing ourselves multidimensionally, to me, is basically finding the poetry in all these little individualized boxes and allowing them to become their unified form again. It's Everything is connected. So why not add to your dream interpretation, energetic exploration? You know, what have you got to lose?
Exactly. I love the way you express that. Finding the poetry in the individual boxes. Beautiful.
Well, we got to figure out. I want to bring this back to something, the new concepts that you brought in your book, which is really awesome. I'm an entrepreneur, and you were sharing throughout your book an experience that you had in starting a business, Regenesis, and went into many things using that as your example that were very helpful, I found. And would you share with us in the exploring the new concept conversation about how, what is a multidimensional business and the three bottom lines? I absolutely love that. Would you share with us that new concept that you were developing with your business?
Well, what I discovered was that there was a level that I needed to look at my business that I had never been aware of. And when things began to go awry, I really needed to go to that energetic level in order to understand what was going on. And so out of that, I extracted, if you will, some commandments, 16 commandments of how to do manifestation. And that applies totally to doing business or manifesting absolutely anything in your life. And when you read through them, you will notice that the first 10 fit very well within the framework of the physical world. And they have to do with setting clear intentions and ensuring that your beliefs are in alignment with your goals. These are all things that we've heard before. But then you get to a certain place, and I discover that when you start to become, when you yourself become more energetic, and when you're trying to create a business in a more energetic world, meaning that we're dealing now more with a faster vibration, and there's more focus on vibration than there is on physicality. Once you've shifted to that, all of a sudden there are some things that don't work anymore, and you really need to look at some of these extra commandments. So, for example, you need to look at the energetic alignment of all the people and all the aspects of the goal that you're seeking. So let's assume that you have you run a business and you have a team that works with you, and that's everybody from the person who delivers your product, the person who sells, the person who promotes. Everyone on your team really needs to be in alignment with the values, the beliefs, the intentions, the mission statement, the goals that you're trying to achieve. And if somewhere along the path somebody veers off, all of a sudden what you're going to find is that the energy drops, the flow is no longer happening, and you can't figure out why, because nothing has visibly changed. But what's visibly changed is that one of your people has really gotten off the mark, and they're no longer committed to the goal, or they're sidetracked, and what they're really after is profit rather than service, or whatever variation, they've gone off your value system. And if they have, they can pull the whole, instead of a straight line from you, the river is flowing straight forward, and all of a sudden now you've got tributaries going off to the side, and you're spending a lot of time trying to clean up and bring the tributaries back in, trying to bring that person, for whatever reason they got off, you're trying to bring them back in, and sometimes they're just not the right player on that team. And it's hard to realize that, because you may really like them as a person. But if they're not in alignment, they're going to throw all the energy off. So that's commandment 11. Commandment 12 is to create an energetic throughway from you to your goal and keep it constantly open. So here's where you need to use your visualization skills. And you actually see this pathway moving forward from you to the goal, and you can't allow anything No boulders can crop up to block that path. You can't suddenly start to get scared that you can't achieve it, or you're not good enough to get there, or you made a mistake and you've blown the whole thing. Whatever it is that might become a boulder in the way of your creating that goal. And remember, I'm giving specific examples, but we're talking about the energy of all those things that moves cleanly forward. And it's the energy we're looking at now. The energy gets reflected and shows up as one of those specific events or someone's action. But in fact, we're actually talking about the vibrations as they move forward. And you need to start thinking and looking at the actual energies and make sure that they're staying in that flow pattern. So that's another one. Now, and then I'm going to skip to number 16, which is really an important one. And that has to do with universal timing. Mm-hmm. And we can do all the right things, take all the right steps, follow all the directives and do them properly. And sometimes there is a timing that the universe has that we just don't know about. And we really have to be aware of it and allow it to be there. Because sometimes things are just not in place yet. And we literally couldn't receive the guidance as to how to move and where to go because it's just too soon. And we can't take the steps yet. So sometimes we need to take an intermediate step. And sometimes we need to do a little jog before we can jog back. And sometimes we need to just plain be patient and continue to trust no matter what, this goal will be achieved. But that universal timing is tricky because we can't see it and we don't know. If I had been told even 10 years ago that I would have written the book and would be talking to you on this radio program and living in Australia, I would have said never. No, actually 10 years would not be accurate. 20 years ago when I really started looking at where I was headed in my future. Everything in my life changed at one point. And literally everything except that I was still in this body and I still had 4 children. And I started asking a lot of questions about where I was going and what I was going to do. And I asked and I asked. And there's no way that I could have been given full answers at that time because I could not have accepted it. I couldn't have understood it. I couldn't have been there. I had to wait for universal timing to show up and to allow me to take the intermediary steps and finally end up where I am today.
Well, your journey has taken you a long, long way, and I really recommend this book for people to not only learn from your example, but also for the very practical hands-on knowledge that is very useful for beginning this dialogue or continuing the dialogue. I find that the more I learn, the more I realize I just don't know. I feel like I'm sort of an advanced beginner always. We're always beginning, you know. That's always beginning somewhere. So I really appreciated this because the concepts, the way you put them, and I noticed the time. I was like, oh, I guess I need to think about that time thing again because we're wrapping it up. We have just a few more minutes, but this is a conversation that could go on for days and how important it is, you know. Would you please share with the listener how we can reach you, what your website is, and those kinds of information things, if you have any events or things you'd like to share with us as well, any more interviews coming up where people might find you, any of that?
Yes, I'd be happy to do that. First, there are two websites that I would like to draw the listeners to. One is transformationenergetics.com, the words that I used at the very beginning of the program, so www.transformationenergetics.com. And the second website is the name of the book, which is Multidimensional You, multidimensionalyou.com. So www.multidimensionalyou.com. And there is a hyphen between multi and dimensional, but I think if you wrote it in either way, you would get to the website. Now, once you get that onto the Multidimensional You website, you will see that we're having a wonderful special right at the moment. And I am gifting the workbook to the first 1,000 people who come onto the website and request the workbook. It will come to you in digital form, and you still have to buy the book, but the workbook is being given as a free gift right at this time. So I strongly recommend that you get the workbook while you can, and while you're doing that, you know, get yourself a copy of the book, because they go very well together. And the next piece I want to share is that we also have a rather interesting campaign going, which I've called the Count Up campaign. And the count, anyone who can see themselves as a multidimensional being, anyone who is committed to this energetic evolution, to opening their knowledge, their consciousness, their sights, anyone who is on this awakening path and feels that they can put their, you know, their name on the dotted line, so to speak, all they have to do is to sign up, and there's a counter on the page. It's rather fun to see people adding their names to the Count Up campaign, and we'd like to see if we can get up to 1,000,000. We have a good ways to go, but I invite all of you to join me and be, you know, join the Count Up campaign. And what that does, again, energetically, is it begins to create the collective group committed to this positive conscious evolution. And there was something else. Yes, if you come on the site and just pay in the next in the next little while, I don't have an exact date, I'm going to be doing a bit of a survey. I want to know from people what they really want to hear more about so that I can offer that. I hope that people will respond to that. Also, you'll see a tab on the website for a forum. And please go on the forum. There are some great questions that have been raised and people chatting about those topics. I'd love to hear your viewpoints on all those topics. And just come and visit. I'm eager to meet each and every one of you. I'm open to dialogue and conversation and to answering questions, and a pleasure talking with you this afternoon.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And is that all that information on both websites or just one?
The information on the first, they both link. So you only have to go to one to get everything. And then there's a tab which will take you between the two.
Okay, well, that's great. Thank you so much, Elaine Seiler, for joining us here today on the Alchemy of Light broadcast. And please do enjoy exploring her book, Multidimensional You, Exploring Energetic Evolution. And her websites are multidimensionalyou.com and transformationalenergetics.com. So we will wrap this talk up. We've run out of time. So I am going to sign off and say thank you all so much for joining us. I am Graham, your host, and this is the Alchemy Light broadcast. And Elaine, would you like to just make one very, very brief note to say farewell?
One brief note, just to tell you that although it may sound challenging or feel challenging as you pass through some of these changes, know that the other side is really wonderful and allows a level of living effectively and fluidly that we can't even begin to imagine because we've never been there. But I can tell you, for one, I wouldn't want to go back for a minute. And it has made my life very exciting and very wonderful. And it's a pleasure talking to all of you. I hope you have a wonderful and conscious and balanced, energetic day.